Talking about feasts, I have brought a little feast with me today. I did make it. It looks a little bit sad because I had some trouble, but it will be years later. Okay. And I bought tongs because I know some of us are scared about the virus, so we can be safety first. Okay. Let me pray. Heavenly Father, as we come to your word, we ask that your spirit would be with us now, that you'd be speaking through me. I pray that we would have ears to hear, and that we wouldn't just hear, Lord, but that we would be moved into action. We commit this time to you in Jesus' name. Amen. What is the gospel? It is like someone sending an SMS or an email or inviting you in person to their place. It's going to someone's house, knocking on the door and being welcomed inside. It's stepping inside and smelling something delicious on the stove, cooking and thinking, who is this great chef? It's sitting around a big wooden table, a glass of wine in your hand, eating, drinking, listening to stories, laughing. It's discovering as you're shoveling food into your mouth that Jesus is sitting at that table with you. And it's Jesus who's telling the best stories, the ones that have everyone laughing. It's Jesus making sure that there is enough food for everyone. It's realizing that this invitation has come from God. It's hearing a knock on the door and seeing more people come in. Jesus saying, come in, come on, we can make some more room. Let's shuffle around. We can fit a few more seats around this table. And seeing other people settle in, being handed food, handed something to drink. And as they're eating and drinking, Jesus starts telling another story. This is the gospel.
There was a man who invited many to join him in a great feast. When the day for the feast arrived, the host instructed his servant to notify all the invited guests and tell them, come, for everything is now ready for you. But one by one, they all made excuses. One said, I can't come. I just bought some property and I'm obligated to go and look it over. Another said, please accept my regrets, for I just purchased 5 teams of oxen and I need to make sure they can pull the plow. Another one said, I can't come. I just got married. The servant reported back to the host and told him of all their excuses. So the master became angry and said to his servant, go at once throughout the city and invite anyone you find, the poor, the blind, the disabled, the hurting, and the lonely, and invite them to my banquet. When the servant returned to the master, he said, sir, I've done what you've asked, but there's still room. There's still room for more. So the master told him, all right, go out again, and this time bring them all back with you. Persuade the beggars on the streets, the outcasts, even the homeless. Urgently insist they come in and enjoy the feast so that my house will be full.
This is the good news, that God has invited us to this great feast. But sometimes that invite gets lost amid all the other invites. I mean, there's so many restaurants and cafes to choose from on the northern beaches. It can be overwhelming. Like, what do I feel like tonight? It's just a click away and you can order food directly to your house. We have fresh vegetables and fruit readily available. You can walk down the street, or if that's too hard, you can drive down to the shops. We have so much, and we don't think this is good news. We expect good meals. We expect good wine. We expect good service. Like, if we can pay for it, we expect the best. And so we eat, then we get hungry again, and then we eat some more. And as we dine out and as we consume, we don't think about God much. In fact, a lot of people don't think they even need God. We have made it by ourselves. We can provide for ourselves. Last year, I went to our town hall to watch a performance, and I took a friend who'd never been to the theatre before, and I had actually never been into town hall before. It's this beautiful old building with this giant chandelier. And the meal began, or the show began, with us being given a meal. So you walked in, and you're handed this, like, cardboard box thing, and we went and found a corner somewhere in the room, and we opened it up, and there was a Sri Lankan curry inside. It was amazing curry. In fact, I was so inspired that for the next few weeks I tried to make Sri Lankan curry at home, except without the chili, so I don't know if that fully worked. But anyway, we ate this meal, and then we went in and we sat in a round and we watched this story unfold before us, chronicling the civil war in Sri Lanka. A civil war that tore apart families and cities and caused a lot of people to flee, including, in this story, some people who fled to Australia as refugees. Now, I'd vaguely heard about the war in Sri Lanka before, and I had seen refugees on my television screen. But there was something about being in this space, eating food from that culture, sitting in a round where I could smell incense burning, where I could see people speaking in their mother tongue and then switching back to English, that was really powerful for me. And I felt this gnawing in my stomach. I felt this sadness for these stories, this sense of helplessness that so many people had faced. What is the good news? It's that God hears those cries when we feel helpless and answers by saying, come and have a meal with me. And that invitation is not just for people who look like us. It's not just for the wealthy or the respectable. It's for people from the north and the south and the east and the west. It's for refugees. It's for people who can't speak English. It's for people who recognize their helplessness. Now, often, we don't recognize our helplessness. We try to deny it. We fill the hunger that we have with other things that temporarily satisfy us. We turn down God's invite. And so God goes looking. He goes to the homeless bent over in the streets and he says, come and have a meal with me. He goes to the patients in the hospital, the anxious and the depressed, the alcoholics and the drug addicts, the single mothers, the divorced, the people who are marching in the Mardi Gras last weekend, the people who have dementia just up the road. And he says, come and have a meal with me. The table is big enough. I'm trying a new meal. It's fish and coconut milk and turmeric and cinnamon. Come and eat with me and be filled. Let me hear your story. I want to know you. And I want you to know me. Oh, your mouth is full. That's okay. As you chew, as you eat, let me tell you some stories. This is the gospel.
There was once a shepherd with 100 lambs, but one of his lambs wandered away and was lost. So the shepherd left the 99 lambs out in the open field and searched in the wilderness for that one lost lamb. He didn't stop until he found it. With exuberant joy, he raised it up and placed it on his shoulders, carrying it back with cheerful delight. Returning home, he called all his friends and neighbours together and said, let's have a party. Come and celebrate with me the return of my lost lamb. It wandered away, but I found it and brought it home.
There was once a father who had two sons, and the youngest son said, this place is boring. I want to get out of here. Give me my money. I deserve it. Like, give me my inheritance now. And the father very graciously agreed. And so the youngest son took off. He never looked back. He traveled the world, binging on gourmet food and alcohol until he ran out of money. And then he was hungry. And not just him, the whole land was hungry. There was a famine, so jobs were scarce, and the only job he could get was feeding slop to the pigs. And sometimes that slop tasted so good that he'd, like, take in a few mouthfuls for himself. And one day he thought to himself, hang on, what am I doing here? My father, he has this great farm, there's people that work for him, they always had food. maybe if I go back to my dad, say I'm sorry, maybe my dad will give me some work. It's like, okay, that's what I'm going to do. And so he set off for home. His dad saw him coming. His dad saw him coming when he was still far away, and he started running towards his son. He embraced his son. He hugged his son, kissed him again and again, and the son tried to apologize. But the father said, look, it doesn't matter. I'm just so glad to see you here. You were dead, and now you're alive. You were lost, but now you are found. Let's throw a party. We're going to throw a party, the biggest party. We're going to have a feast for you. Now, there was another brother, the older brother, and he was out working in the fields as he always was, faithfully working in the fields, and he heard that his younger brother had returned and he could see all the preparations taking place, and he stayed out in that field. He stayed out in the field as the party started. He stayed out until his father came and found him. He said, what are you doing still out here in the fields? Come and join the feast. He said, are you serious? That brother of mine doesn't deserve a feast. It's not fair. You've never thrown such a feast for me. And the father said, everything I have is yours to enjoy. But you're wrong. This is worth celebrating because my son was lost and now he's found.
There once was a woman who had 10 valuable silver coins. When she lost one of them, she swept her entire house, diligently searching every corner of the house for that one lost coin. When she finally found it, she gathered all her friends and neighbours for a celebration, telling them, come and celebrate with me. I had lost my precious silver coin, but now I've found it. That's the way God responds every time one lost sinner repents and turns to him. He says to all his angels, let's have a joyous celebration for the one who was lost, I have found.
What is the good news? It's that the lost can be found. It's that God searches for us, runs towards us, invites us to a party. It's reconciliation. This year I went back to Town Hall at the same time, but they had a different show on. And this show was about an Aboriginal man proposing to his Maori girlfriend. And then the rest of the show is kind of the two families coming together and telling the families. There's lots of drama that happens. And the first act ends rather unusually with this announcement coming on saying that everybody is to leave the theatre during the intermission. So we all get up and shuffle outside and we're waiting in the foyer. And then finally we're invited back in. And the whole place has been transformed into a wedding reception. So there's red tinsel hanging everywhere. There's like round tables and candles on the tables. And you have to like decide where you're going to sit. So you sit down at this table and there's like name tags there so you can introduce yourself to strangers. And so you start talking to strangers. The actors are also mingling in this fake wedding reception. And the second act explores how hard it can be sometimes to eat with people, that sometimes there is a cost. So there's a lot of drama as these two families kind of clash, as people like storming out of the wedding reception, shouting at one another, crying. And then there's the beginning of understanding, of singing, of reconciliation. And the show ends with the actors dancing and inviting the whole audience or whoever wants to join in this dance. Now, I've heard about reconciliation. I've heard about the need for reconciliation between Indigenous and non-Indigenous peoples. But there was something very powerful about being in that space and feeling this gnawing beginning to be filled. There was a proverb in Jesus' time that said, I saw them eating and I knew who they were. Jesus had a reputation for how he ate. He'd be having a meal on the Sabbath and then suddenly it'd be interrupted because he'd heal someone and everyone would be scandalized. Or he'd be eating at a meal with a Pharisee leader and then he'd start criticizing like where people sat, criticizing those who wanted the best places at the table. He says, why are you taking the best places? Take the least. Jesus had a reputation for eating with sinners. And Jesus did this because he was trying to tell people what the gospel is. What is the gospel? Sometimes words aren't enough to answer that question. I mean, Jesus gives us words. He tells us stories. But he says if you really want to get it, you need to invite people over. Not just your friends and family. Invite the least. Invite a stranger. Invite that neighbor that you've just, you know, said hello to for years and years, but you don't actually know. Have a meal with them because that is what God has done for you. He has invited you. This is the season of Lent, and it's a time where some people choose to fast, maybe to give up some form of food, maybe a meal, maybe meat. And it's a time where you actually have the opportunity to feel hungry. We don't actually feel hungry for very long anymore. To feel hungry and to bring that hunger to God and hear God say, "You're welcome to my meal," to receive his grace. God is preparing a banquet where there'll be food from all nations and tribes and cultures, where the best wine will be served, where there'll be dancing and so much eating that you'll feel like you're going to burst, where there'll be hugging and high-fiving. And Jesus says, "I know it sounds almost too good to be true. I'm telling you these stories, but if you really want to get it, you need to taste it. Sit down and have a meal with me. Have a meal with my friends and experience how good God is. Taste how good God is. You are welcome at this table. There is enough room for you all. If you're feeling lost, you can be found." And having received welcome, Jesus goes on to say, "I want you to welcome others. I want you to share what you have received." See, Lent isn't just about fasting and counting the cost, although that's important. And Jesus says, count the cost, be prepared that to do this will be costly. But it's not just about fasting and counting the cost. Lent is about putting down old habits so you can take up new habits, like sharing the gospel, like helping people to taste the gospel. And Jesus tells us what to do. He says, invite people over to your place. It doesn't have to be fancy. It can be a simple meal around a table. Invite those who are hungry, who are helpless, who are in need of this good news, just like you once were. Now, that can be scary given this last week's news, when we have fears of pandemics and everyone's telling us not to get close to anyone. But I want to encourage us to not be scared. And actually to count the cost, because you know the early church counted the cost and they loved strangers when a plague struck their city. They didn't stay away. They actually went and served people they didn't even know. And many of them lost their lives for it. But people saw that radical act of love and it actually caused the church to grow. It caused people to turn to Jesus. Their hearts burned. Count the cost and don't be scared to invite strangers, people you don't know, over for a meal. Because that's how they might come to know Jesus. I have been cooking this week, as I said. One of the things that stops me sometimes from sharing a meal is that I'm scared of feeding people my food. So you are my experiment today. I've cooked a meal and it didn't quite work because I didn't have icing sugar, and then I just thought I could use white sugar for my icing, and so there's a lot of sugar on this. As we respond to God, I want to give you two ways that you can respond. If you dare, you can come up and we can use our safety tongs and I can give you a slice, and I want you to chew and taste the sweetness of this cake and be reminded of the grace of God. And as you chew, think about and pray to God, who do you want me to connect with? Who can I have a meal with this week? The other option is that you stay in your seat and you can pray to God as well. Let's have a space now where we just sit with God and ask, who are you calling me with, to engage with, to eat with this week? So I'll give a time of silence and then I'll close in prayer. Lord Jesus, we thank you so much that you just pour out grace upon grace. We can't wait to see the kingdom come fully, to sit at the feast that you've prepared. We thank you for the welcome and the hospitality you show us. And I pray that your spirit would help us to see you in the meals that we have. Help us to be people who are generous, who practice hospitality, who eat with all different people, not just people like us, God. Would you give us the grace to be able to do that? We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.